It's time to get behind the lyrics, the music, and the artist. You're listening to Music's Journey on musicsjourney.com, presented by nowandthenmagazine.com, your music and entertainment online magazine. I'm John Marshall. With your special guest, here's your host, Kim Sear.
I am so excited today to have multi award winner, CCMA SOCAN and CMAO award winner Jason Blaine here on Music's Journey with over 20 radio hits and 6 full albums and over 8 million streams, believe it or not. I think he's even surpassed that by a long shot with his new EP coming up, Go With Me, on October 23rd. Welcome, Jason. How are you?
Hi, Kim. Thanks for having me on your show. It's great to speak with you.
Yeah, it's been a long time. It's been probably about 3 years since I've seen you last.
Thanks very much for this opportunity.
Oh, we really appreciate it. You're one of my favorites. When I think of a songwriter in country music, you know, first favorite somebody asked me, you come up, because I just think you're such a talented, incredible writer.
Oh, gosh. Thank you so much.
I think so many people think the same way. And you know what? I absolutely love everything you do. I've always been excited to be able to interview you because as we go, your changes in songwriting is always so apparent. It's just like such a journey to be on with you because I remember your very first show, believe it or not, in Toronto in 2006.
Oh my gosh. Would that have been the Raceway?
That's right.
Yeah, I remember it too. It was, that was my first kind of big show there, and you know what? There was fans and folks like yourself who have been following my career from that day onward up to this moment, and I'm so appreciative of that.
There was a lot of other artists that I had interviewed that same night, and I remember saying, you know what? I just loved your sound. You got such a unique sound. I always know when you're on the radio. I always know your voice.
Appreciate that.
Yeah. So I'm really, really happy for you. And thank you for being so humble. We love that.
Well, that's easy to do in this industry, you know, and especially, you know, moving to Nashville and living in this town full of just the most amazing, talented people in the world. It'll humble you, or at least it should.
Absolutely. Do you remember when you first went to Nashville? I know that was such a big move for you. And do you remember how you felt then?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it was a scary move, but it was an exciting move, and it's the kind of move that you make when you're young, you know, when you're when you have a lot less to lose. You know, I think that there's times in life where you've got to seek out that promised land. You've got to go where your dreams call you to go, and be brave about it. And I'm thankful that I was, and I'm thankful that I had an amazing wife at the time who's still with me on this journey, willing to take that leap of faith and that journey with me from Pembroke originally, then to Kitchener, then to Nashville. And then the title of that first record became Make My Move, which is full circle to this latest EP all these years later called Go With Me, because mm-hmm. we're still on the journey. We're still on the music journey. We're still on the journey of life.
It is nice to see with the CP because it talks about the love story between you and Amy and what family means to you. Like, you've got some great fun songs on this too, but I absolutely love it. I think it's just such a great journey. And like you said, full circle for sure.
Definitely. And that song is just, I had never actually written the story before, like our story before. It just happened to come out that day, and I'm thankful for it.
And I think Amy's probably really happy about that too.
It was a very last minute addition to this EP. I didn't even know that the song would come about or become the title track of this EP, but it really connected all the dots for me and sort of pulled the EP together. I wrote it with a friend of ours named Robin Collins. She's a great writer, and she actually lives in my neighborhood.
Oh, does she really?
Johnny Simon. Yeah, and Johnny Simon as a kind of rock pop producer who's since moved to L.A., but we got together to write, and we didn't even really have a plan for what we were writing that day, just trying to write a good song, and Robin just kind of was digging a little bit and just asking about my journey and my journey to Nashville with Amy, and she's like, I want to write that song with you. Have you not written that song? And I really thought, you know, I really hadn't ever written it because just seemed like such a selfish song to write, you know, just to drag people into writing. I'm like, who wants to write about that with me? You know, it seemed like if I was ever going to write it, I might write it by myself or whatever. But she had the title. She's like, I just got a title. It just came to me. How about this? How about go with me? And then she talked, she explained it. And I'm like, that's actually really good and perfect, you know, and it just fell out really, really easily and naturally. So we ended up producing it, and right there, like what you hear on the record, on this EP, is essentially what we wrote in the room that day and what we produced within, you know, just a couple of days.
Well, that's pretty awesome. And then you picked that one for the title track for the album.
Yeah.
That really stands for something, too.
Yeah, definitely. Just thought I would share that. We're gonna kind of capture it in a fun video that's being prepared right now, too, for the launch of the EP, and kind of just tell that story in you know, visually as well. So it's one of those things. I used to always hear Garth say that, like, there'll be one song on this record. You know, most of them are for the fans, and then one for me. I guess that I'll say Go With Me is the one for me that I just thought I'd share a bit of our journey in song.
Yeah, it's such a beautiful song, and I can't wait for the fans to be able to hear that, and that's coming out on October 23rd. Got to be pretty excited about that. Are you doing any kind of release party for the EP?
Yes, it'll be online. It'll be on Instagram on October 22nd in the Ethan, so watch for that.
And okay.
I'm going to try to have some special guests join me, and just talking about the songs, and maybe having some sips, and, you know... just sharing this virtually, you know, a virtual party kind of thing.
Awesome. That's what I was hoping for. So I would be able to see that, because I know it's been really hard with COVID, and especially for artists with new music coming out. You know, that has to have been hard, you know, releasing this year, not being able to tour and go out, but also having some time to reflect. Have you had any reflections over this time?
I think we've all, you know, in terms of reflections, I mean, you think about what you're missing this year, and for me, it's missing the fans, missing touring with my band, and missing all of the stuff in between the shows, too, like all of just the laughter and the different personalities and that you have in the band, and just the camaraderie, you know, and that, it's all part of it, like the touring and then playing shows and meeting people and talking to people and hearing their stories and seeing their smiling faces and cheering you on down the front and all of it, you know, it just, you end up realizing, you know, I mean, did we take it for granted? Probably. I mean, just because, you know, you never think that something like this would hit us on this level and take it all away.
Mm-hmm.
So it just makes you miss all of those little moments, you know, when you could just be together and just enjoy each other's company. I think that reflection, now that, you know, rug has been pulled out from underneath our industry and out from underneath all of us, and we've have that taken away, has really made you reflect on how much you appreciate people and how important those friendships are.
Well, yeah, because like when you're on the road, you connect with your fans, and they've already gotten to know your songs that you're touring. And, you know, to be able to hear the fans and the audience sing your songs back to you, to be able to get to know you personally, it's more of a personal connection than just the music.
Yeah, yeah. And I've got several fans, you know, that I see, they, especially in Ontario, that follow me and have been following me right from the beginning of my career. And they hardly ever miss a show.
Mm-hmm.
There's a gal by the name of Jenny Lee, and there's the girl by the name of Shannon, and Laura, her friend Laura, and several others that just have been you know, coming to shows right from day one. And we're not super close. I don't see these folks other than at shows. You know,
mm-hmm.
I live here in Tennessee, and they live in Canada, but they might not even realize how much I just appreciate seeing them at the shows and saying hi and a meet and greet before or after, and you just kind of expecting that they'll be there, you know. And I think that about lots of all of the fans, really. Some new, some old. Want to let them know, anybody that's listening to this podcast, how much I appreciate them, and look forward to seeing them, and look forward to seeing them again when things open back up eventually.
Oh, let's hope it opens up soon. We know what everybody's going through right now, and even for your bandmates, it's so hard when you don't have that camaraderie between you and not being able to see each other, and, you know, I have to do things over stream, and, you know, it's not the same, and I'm sure they miss it too. They count on it.
Yeah, definitely. but you know, we've been staying in touch, you know, via text, via FaceTime, you know, just, hey buddy, how are you? Hope you're doing well. Hope you're making through this thing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just staying connected like that. You know, we're all wanting the same thing. Everybody wants everybody to stay safe, and we don't want to, certainly we don't want to lose anybody to this terrible, terrible virus. Mm-hmm. But we want to be safe, but we're also all looking forward to getting back out there and being together again.
You were such an easy person to talk to and so humble in every interview, and that is just something that's very rare. And I know Keith Urban's Keith Urban's like that. You're like that. And I love that about you.
Oh, well, thank you. Well, that's very sweet.
I'm hoping to see you at Boots and Art, because I know you were supposed to play this year. And so now they've scheduled you in for next year. You got to be pretty excited about that.
I'm very excited. Very excited about Boots and Art 2021. I'm excited that they kept us on, you know, that they're just kind of taking the same show and just kicking it down the road a year, you know, and hopefully by then, by August, we'll be on the other side of this dang thing, and we'll all be together, because it's going to be an incredible show. I just can't say enough about this festival, people that run it, kind of come to know them over the years, Dan and his lovely wife Eva, and Brooke, their daughter, she's taken on a bit bigger and bigger role in the festival, and they're just really good people, and they treat their artists, both Canadian and American, just like amazing. Mm-hmm. And personally, that, you know, they've, from the, you know, that was a really big show, probably one of the biggest shows of my career, the first time I did it in 2013, was the first time, so this will be my fourth time to play the festival in my career, and the first time I did it, it was one of the biggest festivals in Ontario, certainly the biggest festival in Ontario I had ever done, so all of my family drove down to be there, my mom and dad and brothers came out, and I had friends from my hometown of Pembroke come down, and they somehow, like, they told them, you know, they told the festival people that they were, you know, my friends and family, and they just, I shouldn't even be saying this, they just, like, let them back in and let them backstage to my bus, and they hung out, and, you know, my neighbor, my, we call him Uncle Miles, was, like, grilling out a steak beside the bus on this thing he brought his camper, and, you know, they just kind of made themselves at home, and the festival people were so sweet to them.
Yeah.
I'll never forget, you know, the way they treated my friends and family over the years and made them feel welcome and special, but also the way that they've always treated my band and my crew. Mm-hmm. When we showed up, just super professional, and so all that to say, first class, and it's going to be so, so great. You know, if everybody thought that those festivals, all those, the previous years of Boots and Hearts was great, and could you imagine, mm-hmm, when everybody's able to do this again?
It's a big show that day. There's a lot of really,
well,
really big names.
Headlining, but I mean, I'm going to be playing on the what's called the porch stage, because I think I've never played it before, and it looks super cool in all the photos I've seen. It's a different vibe than, so it'll probably be a little bit later than say a 4:30 or 4 p.m. spot on the main stage. Mm-hmm. That's definitely what I've done in the past. But it's a bit different, right? Because part of the stage is reserved for the headliner, which is Eric Church.
Yes.
That night, and Brothers Osborne. So if you were on before those guys on the main stage, you don't really get to utilize the whole stage because all of their gear is already up there.
That's true.
You're a little bit limited. But it's cool, though. It's really cool to be on that main stage. It's awesome, and there's lots of people. But they've got this really cool porch stage for acts like myself and all, mm-hmm, the other names that'll be on there. And they've got, you know, you make use of the full stage. They've got the really cool LED screens behind, so you can put up graphics or videos or whatever. And it's, man, it's usually packed under there, too. Like,
and it's gotten better over the years.
Yes.
The front porch is always so much fun because they're packed in there way before you even start. So they don't move. Yeah. They've got their lawn chairs, they got their seats, and they sit there and they just put on a really, really good show. And the fans stick there all day long.
And it's covered too, so yeah, you don't have to worry about rain.
Definitely looking forward to that. Looking forward to playing some other shows too that hopefully, like Little Current and Manitoulin Island. Will be,
oh my God, my favorite.
The same weekend, I think, a couple days before, mm-hmm, probably Thursday or Friday, I can't recall right at the moment, but we'll be in Little Current, and definitely thank KT for giving us the call on that one, and for, you know, keeping us on the bill for next year, and for, you know, surviving this year to keep her festival going, because it's another good one. Those fans are so appreciative of
they are diehards.
They travel all the way to Little Current to be there, and we're appreciative of them every time we get the chance to go. So this will probably be my third time playing that festival over the course of my career. So excited to get back there and wherever else. You know, I'm just really hoping that a lot of these places can survive. I know that this year there's been a lot of
A lot of closures.
You know, I'm thinking about the Oshawa Corral closed up its doors after 37 years of being a live music place that people can go and knock around on stage. And you know, for me, for guys like me, really, you know, cut your teeth on guitar and, you know, your early, your beginnings. It was a place that, it was a stage to go and play and practice, like, and hone your craft, you know, before you hit the big stages like Boots and Hearts. It was, you know, such a tremendous opportunity. And I played there a lot in the 5 years that I lived in Kitchener. So that was sad to see a place like that close up its doors. And, you know, I'm just really hopeful that a lot of these places can survive the year.
I'm hoping that, you know, the places that have closed their doors get another opportunity to be able to open up something else, because a lot of them have come back. And, you know, let's hope there's something there, because they were really good people too. Really, really good people.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, bands need places to play live. And, you know, we don't want to ever see that go away. I mean, that's, people love that. That there's such a sense of community there, and people get together and make music. And that's what it's all about, you know.
Mm-hmm. Are you playing festivals, do you know, for next year in the States?
No, I don't know. I don't know at this point yet. I don't do a lot of touring on the southern side of the border. I mean, I tend to put on my songwriter hat and my hat on the other side of the border, and mainly just do my touring. Occasionally, a national tour across Canada in the winter. I mean, every other year or every couple of years, we'll do a you know, as much of a coast to coast as we can. Usually with some other artist friends. I've done that in the past with Derek Rattan and Chad Brownlee, and then a couple of years ago, Tebe and I did one with James Otto, and that was a lot of fun. And, you know, I could see us doing, you know, something again, you know, when we can. But for me, it's always been a seasonal thing, a summer touring seasonal thing for me, it seems.
You've been a staff writer in Nashville, you know, for well over a decade. And you write some really big hits for a lot of these country artists they may not know. And like for Petrick, you've done Chris Jansen, Madeline Marlowe. There's so many that you've done. Talk about that.
Yeah, I've been really lucky to get to have my songs, you know, find their own way outside of my own records. You know, I've been really lucky to write for a couple of different companies. I had written for Curb Nashville, Curb Word Nashville, for the past 6 years. And just, yeah, I've been lucky enough to have my songs placed with acts like Parmalee here in the U.S., as you mentioned, and, you know, had several singles with Madeline Marlowe, and as you mentioned, Petrick, and it's something I love to do. It's another, I just love that creative outlet, and I'm still doing it today. I've scaled back on the staff writing thing this year, just taking a step back from that and focused back on my own music for a time. But this has just been a crazy year. We're not meeting in person. It's been a different year in terms of writing over Zoom and writing virtually. And to tell you the truth, I was really resistant to it for the first part of the year, from March probably until May. I didn't do that. I just didn't think I wanted to, and I didn't think it would be successful or productive. But I was wrong. I you know, when it started looking like, you know, this is just kind of going to be the new normal for a little while, I embraced it, and I've done it several times. I've done it many times now, and I've written some really great songs with some great friends and talented co-writers. And now I'm kind of getting spoiled, because I don't mind not having to sit in the Nashville traffic twice a day.
Something you don't miss right now.
Make a pot of coffee and write a song. It's a piece of cake. I think we could all get hooked on it a little bit.
Just a little, right? Because you've been such a busy, busy guy. Like, you got a busy household there. And, you know, it's tough being able to just go on tour, come right off, start writing. And then you're writing for other artists at the same time. Like, you're busy 24/7.
Well, this year has slowed me down some, you know, but it's given me some opportunity to do some stuff around the house and make some wood, you know, craft with woodworking stuff and just some stuff for hobbies outside of music and then focus back on some of my other passions too. Guitar, just really digging. I haven't dug into guitar so much as I have, you know, probably I haven't woodshedded like this in years. Just hadn't had the time to really pick the guitar up off the wall and like actually practice and dig in like I used to practice before I got really going with my career. I used to do that all the time, learning stuff. So I've done some more of that, just trying to grow as a guitar player, maybe to another level, and then picked up golf recently. So, like, you know,
well, you got your charity. You've had that charity going. Tell everybody about that, because that's pretty important too.
Well, thank you for mentioning that. I didn't say that, mention the golf thing to bring that up, but I'm always happy to talk about it. The ironic thing is that I've got this celebrity charity golf and concert fundraiser that this year would have been our year 7, and that we've been doing this, but I'm not a very good golfer. I'm kind of terrible, really. I'll have the occasional surprisingly good shot, but I'm not great at it.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the ironic part about like having your own golf event, but then being a terrible golfer. So I thought I'd take this year to maybe get better at it, and take it a little bit more seriously, and buy some better clubs, and be ready next year. Whoever picks me for their team next year, I'll bring it. Hopefully, I'll be able to bring it. In the past couple of years, I've just driven around on a golf cart with my wife in an effort to say hi to everybody and sort of mingle and greet all our sponsors and stuff. But we've been really, really lucky and blessed to have this event. It was my way of wanting to give back to my hometown, who you know, will always have a special place in my heart. All my family still lives there. Everybody, I have so many wonderful friends in that area that I love, and I just love the town for cheering me on and being so supportive. So I wanted to use music to give back to that area. And together we've raised over $500,000.
Pretty amazing.
I have to give the credit to our sponsors and to all the artists that have come out over the years. And you can see it at jasonblainecharity.com. There's a bunch of videos from past year from all of our guests.
I'll be putting that up for the fans to be able to see, you know, in the article end of it on Now and Then magazine. And they'll be able to see that and see the link and what they can do to contribute as well. So that'll all be up there for you.
Well, thanks, Kim. That's awesome.
Mm-hmm. It's pretty important. I'm really glad that you do that, because you've got Doug Gilmore. There's quite a few. Brian Murray. You know, there's a lot of people that come out and play this thing. Tim Hicks. Name some of the other artists that have played.
Oh, sure. Gord Bamford, Kara Isabella, had, as you said, Tim Hicks, Chad Brownlee, Dallas Smith, Jason McCoy, Aaron Frechette, Hebe. We've had Dan Davidson, JoJo Mason, Patrick, gosh. And
pretty.
And as you mentioned, you know, NHL Hall of Fame, you know, Doug Gilmore, which is really cool.
Mm-hmm.
Great guy. And sadly, the late Brian Murray, it was an honor to meet him and talk about his connection to Pembroke and have him come out, which was really, really cool.
He really cared about the community a lot and did a lot of great things.
He loved the Ottawa Valley and just loved to encourage anybody that's trying to remember their hometown. And he was just a big supporter of not just that place, but many other places. And so it's something it really broke my heart to be able to have to cancel that this year. Obviously, you know, completely out of our control. So it was an easy call to make. You know, it was like, there's nothing we can do about it. You know, we didn't have a venue and then there's obviously all the government restrictions and
not to
mention the safety of everybody else. It was just, it was a victim of 2020, but you know, it was something that we all were looking forward to, but we are planning on coming back next year.
That's right.
We're putting that all together for 2021, and it might look a little different. It might not be the same event. You know, we'll really have to see what we're allowed to do as we get closer, but we're looking to do something.
Oh, that's good. I'm really glad to hear about that. We'll make sure that that's up there, and anybody can follow any further information and get updates and latest news for that charity. So that'll be really great to see. So let's hope that, you know, kicks off really well for us next year.
Absolutely.
Jason, how many golfers does it take to change a light bulb?
Oh, God. I don't know. I haven't heard this one.
Four.
Oh, my God.
Four.
You had to know that was coming. Holy, okay.
Yes.
You remember John Marshall, right, from CKNX?
Hey, Jason.
Yeah.
There you go.
Thank you so much for the shout-out, by the way, about losing my job. I really did appreciate that.
Hey, John, absolutely. And I sort of quickly scrolled through the comments there in the feed, and you got a lot of friends and fans and supporters, it would seem. So, just everybody's wishing you all the best.
Yes, everybody was very kind, and I so appreciate it. Thank you again for your part in that.
Absolutely, man.
That's why he's here, besides being my husband, but it's why he's here.
Thanks for playing our records, and spending our records those years. You know, we always need the support, and that definitely our industry is changing, and people are finding new roads and new ways of getting out there staying active and staying involved and supporting each other. And, you know, that's the only one silver lining about 2020 is a lot of people are finding ways to innovate and finding new ways to do stuff. So,
Look at the CMAOs are doing the drive-ins. I've seen a lot of artists get out there and be very, very creative. And I think, you know, it just, like, I always talk about this now because it reminds me of my parents and my grandparents sitting around the radio and how important music was to them. Like, they lived and breathed music. When they weren't working, they were at some place, which kind of, you know, ties into your song that you released off this album too, Drink a Little More. You know, just being able to, you know, kick back, get your babysitter in place, and off you go, you know, to some dance club. Yeah. And just enjoy, you know, like, that's what our parents did, you know, so much more than what the kids do today.
Yeah, whether we're listening to the radio or playing guitars around a campfire.
Exactly.
You know, the thing that pulled us together, and you know, you mentioned the CMA of Ontario, and if it wasn't for the border being closed, I would be there as well. I've always enjoyed being there and seeing all my Ontario buddies.
We all miss you. If we can go back a little bit, you know, for fans that may not know, when you first started your interest in music, do you remember who that influence was in your own home?
Oh, well, sure, that's easy. I mean, my father played in a band and still does play in a band, a local cover band in my hometown area, and still plays, you know, before all this, was playing two or three times a month, and I'm talking the old school way, two or three times, you know, carrying gear out at 2 a.m., you know, which is pretty dang impressive for a 65-year-old. He's still very spry and still determined to carry around his Harkey 410 bass cabinet with him, which weighs 1,000 pounds. So that's impressive.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he would, I'm like, you know that there's smaller cabinets, Dad, that sound just as good when you plug it from the VA, but he likes to be loud, so.
It's the hearing thing.
That's where I get it from. Anybody who's ever been on stage, I guess, but, you know, yeah, I mean, my dad played in a band, and I was able to see them play a lot as a youngster. I was able to go out to a lot of little dances and stuff. They didn't play a lot of bars because there wasn't really a lot of bars left, so they didn't hardly, I guess they didn't play any bars, really. They were more of a dance band that played, like, weddings and anniversaries and community events and stuff, so that was nice for a young kid. I was able to go in and watch a lot of those shows, and then my uncle also had a band that did a very similar thing. So I saw it sort of on both sides of the family. Here's just a little fun fact that people don't know. The uncle that I'm referencing is on my mom's side of the family. His name is Gillen Roots, and he his son is my first cousin, and his name is Ben Roots. And everybody knows him from playing fiddle for Johnny Reed.
That's right.
So,
Wow.
So, yeah, a lot of people don't know that me and Ben are first cousins and spent all of our Christmases and Thanksgivings and stuff, you know, playing as a family with his dad and my dad, and me on guitar and Ben on fiddle and playing all kinds of Christmas songs and country songs. So I sort of watched him from like a little wee guy, like, you know, 4 years old, playing fiddle, you know, and watching him grow and seeing him have a wonderful career as a touring musician on the highest level with Johnny Reed. And incidentally, Johnny, I know that, you know, Johnny has been just a fantastic artist and good boss to Ben. You know, he's always really taken care of his musicians well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, he's a great guy all the way around, you know, and any show he's ever played, he would always be giving something to some fan and really bringing them up on stage. And, you know, he'd get on the sideline and teach them how to play guitar after. And, you know, he's just such a great guy. You know, he's just super, super artist, amazing artist.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so back to your question on, you know, my influence, but I would say my family, my dad was, the one who showed me, you know, how to play my first chords on guitar and was very encouraging. And then I got this other influence from my mom. She played a little bit of piano. But really, she played the radio, and that was another huge influence too. Just playing country radio in the house all the time, so that's what got me. She loved all the '90s country. So,
oh, really?
Yeah. So she always had country radio on first thing in the morning, pot of coffee, and the radio on all the time. So I grew up with just listening and all that music, those melodies, and all of those artists from the '90s that we loved so much. That just kind of got in me. Passively just listening to it, and then around Christmas time, as we move here into the we'll get closer and closer to the holiday season, you know, she had this Kenny and Dolly Christmas that she just wore out. I think she still has the cassette, if you can believe that.
Really?
She's been on me for years and years to do a Christmas song. I did a Christmas song like maybe 12 years ago with Tebe. We wrote it and put it out. It was a song that we wrote one day and happened to put it out, and it did okay. It was called Big Red Bow, and I hadn't done another Christmas song since. My hometown station still plays it, and I guess some other ones too, but my mother had been on me to do another Christmas song for years. So this November 6th, I've got a Christmas song.
You do? Yay!
That's true. And it's one of the things that came out of this whole lockdown is I had bought a bunch of recording gear last year, and I learned, you know, I'd always avoided to learn how to do all of that production recording stuff because I just felt like it was such a mountain to climb, and I have so many friends that are so much better at it than I am. But, you know, I took some time this year to dig in and learn how to do that better, and so this is my first solo production. I actually recorded the whole Christmas song at my house.
Wow.
At my home studio. Had different musician friends play on it. For example, I've become really good friends over the years with a guy named Jim Riley, who has been Rascal Flatts drummer and music director for the past 20 years.
Jeez.
And so he played drums on it and then added some keys and then sent it off to a really great friend of mine, talented mix engineer named Jordan Orbeck, and he did a great job mixing it. But when it comes out, what you hear is what I did at home. I played all the guitars on it, electrics and acoustics, and even I did all the background vocals and put it all together, and I even played bass on it. My dad, I should have mentioned, is a bass player, but I am not. I'm actually, turns out, a terrible bass player, but I sort of learned how to, I've heard a lot of great bass players, so I was able to just sit there and take my time and record this bass part. Imagining what somebody who was good at bass would do, and took all the time in the world to do that, and it turned out great. I'm really proud of this song, and it's called Family for Christmas.
Oh, can't wait.
Your mom will be so happy to learn that not only is your song coming out, but a new Dolly Parton Christmas album coming out, the first in 35 years. And it's called Christmas in the Square. So you can put that in her stocking.
Oh, you know what? That's a great idea. I'm absolutely going to do that. That's a great idea. Because it's about dang time, right?
About dang time. We've been watching a lot of Dolly this last week.
You know what, every time it makes me think of Christmas when I hear like Kenny and Dolly, and you hear those that specifically that Christmas record from all those years ago in the 80s. Mm-hmm. That just, you know, that makes me, that just brings, music will bring back memories, right?
Like, mm-hmm.
It transports you to a place in time, and it just pulls out all these old memories, and it's just comforting, and that's what I wanted to do with the song Family for Christmas. I recorded it. It sounds very classic. That's the kind of Christmas music that I like.
Mm-hmm, me too.
Stuff that sounds older than it is, very throwback, and that's what I went for, and it's really the lyrical vibe of it is just, I mean, it's just all I want is family for Christmas this year. That's really, I don't want money or presents or anything like that. I just want my family for Christmas this year. And that's really the gist of the song. And I think that, you know, it poured out of me pretty quick writing it, because I was thinking about how, you know, the border's going to be closed and we probably won't get to make that 1,000-mile drive to Pembroke this year and see everybody. And
that's gonna be hard.
We haven't seen our family for over a year. And I bet there's a lot of other people out there across the country who feel the same way.
Mm-hmm. I don't get to see my son very often at all because he's in the Army, and both him and his wife. And I've seen him for the first time maybe for 2 hours in 2 years. And, you know, at Christmas Eve last year, but there's no way he's going to be able to make it out this year. And I'm used to having him there every Christmas Eve and Christmas morning. And it's just been a complete change because of COVID.
Right. And it's almost this ominous sort of feeling this year. Of like, you know, I can imagine what they might have felt like, even just to a small extent, you know, back in like the World War
exactly
era. You know, when they were writing songs like I'll Be Home for Christmas, If Only in My Dreams, and they were really, you know, the families were just apart due to the circumstances. And I think that this is probably the closest that our generation has come to something like that and feeling that. I mean, we've got all the comforts of home with Netflix and internet and everything else, you know, and FaceTime. So we sure don't have it nearly as hard as they did. But
nowhere near. Because I remember sitting around, you know, my grandfather, he built pianos, and like they came from England, and he built them, and my grandmother and my grandfather played, and my mom's sister played in the symphony orchestra. And so we grew up sitting around the old record player. What do you call that again?
Gramophone.
Yeah, the gramophone. And I'd pull out all of them out of his cedar chest, and we would play all the old classics, and I used to love it. And it's my favorite music today.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Yeah,
it's definitely, that's what my hope was for this Christmas song. I just wanted to make it feel like the Christmas songs that I love, and it's some tall order. I mean, when the stuff that you love is, you know, Frank Sinatra and, you know, Bing Crosby and all of the old stuff, so it's, you know, it'll never, you know, live up to anything like that, but it's my best effort, and I can't wait for everybody to hear it.
Say the date again when it's coming out.
November 6th.
November 6th. We'll make sure that we have that up there, too. I can't wait to hear that one. So you'll let us know if we can pull you back on to play that one, right?
Yeah.
Sure. I love that. So we can talk about that. That would be really special. And I know that you've got so much coming up. But the one thing I wanted to mention here is the song that you wrote for your grandfather really sticks out to me. And when you're talking about all these family memories, your grandfather would be so proud of what you've accomplished in your life.
Well, I think so, and I hope so. And, you know, that was a very special song around a very special time. And, you know, sadly, he's no longer with us. But, you know, he lived probably as good of a life as any man could ever live. And, you know, my grandma, she's still doing great in Pembroke, and you know, it's we definitely miss them like anybody, you know, whenever you lose a grandparent. And but you know, that song just spoke to a lot of, you know, the sort of values and stuff that that he represented, and I always thought it would make for a good country song. I mean, it just, he loved Alan Jackson, and
Alan Jackson music, you know, was sort of always reminded me of that kind of thing, just those good down-home country qualities or values, you know, faith, family, and you know, truck, maybe.
Well, trucks usually get in there somewhere, right? But let's play that one.
Yeah.
Let's play that one right now. Bring back some memories here for everybody, because it was such a big hit for you, and fans really resonated. Sure. I know it did with me. So let's play that right now, and that's They Don't Make Them Like That Anymore by Jason Blaine.
He still combs his hair like Elvis. Pays cash for everything. And he'll only drive a Chevy. He thinks Alan Jackson's king. He knows everyone by name at the local hardware store. They don't make them like that anymore. Up with the sun each morning, hardly missed a day of work. Summer 1957, he helped build that Lutheran church. Leaves a man should work all week, but save Sunday for the Lord. They don't make them like that anymore. Standing shoulder to shoulder with him now, I still feel small, and I'm still looking up to him. Like he's 10 feet tall. Something about that generation. These days I think we need him more than we ever did before. But they don't make him like that anymore. He married his sweet Mary June 1955. He goes on and on about her casseroles, her clear blue eyes. He still helps her with her coat, still opens her car door. They don't make them like that anymore. Standing shoulder to shoulder with him now, I still feel small. I'm still looking up to him like he's 10 feet tall. There's something about that generation. These days I think we need him more than we ever did before. But they don't make him like that anymore. They don't make them like that anymore. He still combs his hair like Elvis, pays cash for everything.
There's Jason Blaine from 2011 and the album Life So Far, and They Don't Make Them Like That Anymore. Now back to the Music's Journey podcast with your host, Kim Sear, and a guy whose golf game is so bad, he had to have his ball retriever re-gripped. Jason Blaine.
That's great. I love that.
Well, you know, that's the one thing that we miss so much on the radio right now is John's jokes, right? Jason McCoy and Shane Gousset, and I think, I don't know if we're going to do Jamie Warren in there yet, but, and John, they're going to be doing a dad's joke hour on the show.
Jason McCoy is one of the funniest guys I've ever met. He's so witty, so quick. He came and golfed in our golf tournament and lost so many balls that, you know, he told somebody, thanks for having the balls to golf with me.
That's really funny. That's really funny. Now, you had a really big hit with Jason. That was Friends of Mine. That was a really special song. I just remembered that.
That song, that was a really cool thing that came about. I wrote that song with Phil O'Donnell, you know, I was on tour that year with Derek Rattan and Chad Brownlee, and I thought, you know, who else can we get, you know, to star in this video? And Jason McCoy was cool enough to fly out to do the video with us. Filmed on location in a couple places in Calgary, and where was it? Edmonton. It might have been Edmonton actually, because the mall is there. Well, we actually shot it over two nights, so we shot that over two shows. Now that I'm remembering, and it was just really fun. You know, all of the cardboard cutouts and stuff.
I remember.
At the time, and Gord Bamford's in the video as well.
Let's play that one. Let's play that one, and we'll come back to the reasons why you wrote that one, because it's so much fun. And that was back in February 8th, 2014. So that's Friends of Mine with Jason Blaine.
Well, that eagle flew right out of the blue and dropped off a little overtime pay. So I threw the wolves a bone and I shined up the chrome on my new getaway. And I picked my baby a handful of daisies from the shotgun side of the road. Now here we go. Come on, make some noise, everybody. Let's have a little fun tonight. Forget about your worries. Ain't nobody in a hurry to see that morning. Good friends of mine.
Yeah, with a crowd and drink, somebody's personal ink is bound to pop on out.
And some well-fed dude's gonna get half-nude and crash out on the ground.
Yeah, them good time Charlies, they sure love to party, throw down of the day. Now what do you say? Come on, make some noise, everybody. Let's have a little fun tonight. Forget about your worries. Ain't nobody in a hurry to see that morning light. I need a cup, fill it up. We got more than enough to rock on. A few good friends of mine.
That is Jason Blaine, along with Jason McCoy and Friends of Mine. I'm John Marshall. You're listening to the Music's Journey podcast with your host, Kim Sear. Now back to her special guest, a man who has discovered that golf balls are attracted to water. Here's Jason Blaine.
That was such a fun song.
That's hilarious. Golf balls attracted to water and the beach. They love the beach. Yeah. Friends of Mine was a lot of fun to do, and the whole thing with the cardboard cutout came about because we were on tour, and I was thinking about getting, you know, Gord Bamford, asking him to be in the video, and Jason McCoy, and thinking about other friends of mine, and I didn't know, if we would be able to get everybody together around the same time, because people have their own thing going on, and some people are touring, and some people have different things going on. So we jokingly said, I think it was Carmencioni, actually, we jokingly said, you know, you should get cardboard cutouts of everybody, and just, and then we're like, we kind of looked at each other, and we're like, that's actually hilarious. That's a great idea. So we actually had them, we got everybody's images and made them up into these cutouts that we carried around everywhere, you know, and then everybody played different characters. So, like, Gordon Sanford played a bartender, and then Derek Tan played a, you know, a gas station attendant, and they didn't play themselves, you know, so Jason played a bouncer, and it was just really funny. And we got a nomination that year for video.
You did.
So I sort of got a director's credit and did, you know, co-director's credit. We did that on a shoestring budget. It turned out to be one of my favorite videos ever.
That's why I wanted to bring that one up, because it just, I don't know, it just made me laugh every time I see it. And it just brought back really good memories for me. See, I'm even losing my voice over it. That was such a good one. Another one is Countryside. That one really stands out for me too. So talk about that one.
That was a really cool song. I wrote that one with Derek Rattan, and that became a real big hit for us that year in 2015. It was the most played Canadian country song on the radio.
That's right.
And the video, I think it went number one on CMT when we still had CMT. It was so great. And or CMT Canada, specifically. And we shot that video on a property near Gallatin, Tennessee here. So that was the least I had to travel for a music video. We get to shoot it right here in outside of Hendersonville. So that was a real special one, and that video turned out so great. And also, look for the Hunter Brothers, a couple of the Hunter Brothers.
That's right.
And they called up my buddies, and they agreed to come and do it. So that was really cool. I always thank them for that.
Oh, that's amazing. Let's play that one right now. And that's Countryside, that was released back in 2015 by Jason Lane.
You'll know her when you see her. She'll be the one in the scuffed up boots, old ball cap, ponytail through the back, grooving to a Garth Brooks tune. Her first car was a truck. She ain't afraid to sling it in the mud.
Ooh, 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 that's the thing about my baby. Countryside. She'll meet her friends out, get a little out, round about Friday night. My shotgun, a couple cool ones, out where the stars shine bright. Favorite blue jeans, frayed and torn, out there with the crickets and the cattle in the corn. That's the thing about my baby. Ooh, 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 you can blame it on her raisin. She get a little unwound on a Friday night, with the coke and the crown, the moon and the shine. Lord, I love how she ain't shy, showing off her countryside. Lost, take a little ride. Ain't no telling what we might find. She scoots over in the dashboard lights, shows a little more of that countryside. Ooh, ooh, ooh. Ooh, ooh, ooh. Ooh, ooh, ooh. That's the thing about my baby. Showing off her countryside. Yeah. Showing off her countryside. Ooh, ooh, ooh.
Jason Blaine, and Countryside on the Music's Journey podcast. You can check out Music's Journey on Facebook at Music's Journey Podcast. Check out all our podcasts on our website, musicsjourney.com, or nowandthenmagazine.com for all the latest news and information on your favorite singers and bands like Jason Blaine. Now, let's get back to the Music's Journey podcast with our special guest. Here is Kim Sear.
This album, let's talk about this album, because Tebe and Danik from Emerson Drive produced this with you, right?
Well, not Tebe, but Danik did. I think that the connection with Tebe is that Danik had a string of hits producing records with Tebe, for Tebe. But we're all friends. That's probably the connection, is that Danik also, he works with me, and he's worked with Tebe, and then, of course, with Emerson Drive, and Tyler Joe Miller recently as well. He's just a tremendous talent, tremendous producer. But yeah, we're all friends, and so it was Danik and I worked on this record together, and I really kind of let him take the creative lead on this, and you know, just helped me bring these songs to life. And but he was really great, because he's got all the best gear and stuff, so he really pulled out some great guitar playing from me. On this EP, we got to, you know, work in his studio at Berry Hill, and I played on several solos on this record. You can hear me playing guitar on Hell of a Band in Heaven, and on Home for the Summer as well, and some other stuff as well. So it was really cool to get to do this project together.
When you wrote Drink Too Much, this was the lead single coming off this upcoming EP, Go With Me, and it's such a special song. I just thought it was just so much fun and something that reminds people of what they need to do today. That is just to, you know, kick back and remember what it's like to be in love, and to be able to, you're working so hard every day, and, you know, your wife comes home, she's working, let's just forget about everything, it's Friday night, let's just go and remember what it was like to be able to kiss, and, you know, what it was like to have that little bit of whiskey behind you, and, you know, it was a lot of fun in this song. So tell us about that.
Sure. Well, I can tell you, this is one of those, there were two songs on the project that I didn't write, and wish I did, because they just felt like they were just perfect songs for me. And Drink Too Much is one of them, because I've been known to do that from time to time. get a little crazy. But yeah, that the lyric of the song, it's not just, what attracted me to it was that it's not just straight up drinking song or something
it's
like that.
It's a story.
It's like you described it. This song was written by Josh Thompson, Josh Kerr, and Laura Velt, three of Nashville's best songwriters, and had all kinds of songs come out recently with Luke Bryan and everybody else, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So the lyric and the spirit of the song is, as you described, you know, it's like, you know, it's kind of like, you know, when you're just doing life and raising kids and busy working, and in the case of, you know, my wife, working out like crazy and juggling everything, that sometimes you just do need to call a sitter and hit the town and just be a couple, going a little crazy, having some fun. And that's, I mean, that speaks to us and all of our friends that are juggling family and life, you know, that we just love to go out and have a good time, and that's really what the song is about. And I think that it just really turned out really, really great, really fun track. And that's actually my beautiful wife in the album artwork that's on all of the streaming platforms, in the artwork for the single.
Oh, that's great. I didn't even recognize that was Amy.
Yeah.
Awesome. Because this one you released in February of this year, and that's the lead single off your new EP, Go With Me. So let's play this one right now, and that's Drink Too Much with Jason Blaine.
You've been crossing T's and dotting I's too much, off to work and paying every bill on time too much. Baby, you've been up at the crack of dawn and working out in the morning, doing what they tell you you should do too much. But it's Friday night and you kinda wanna drink too much, go a little crazy, get a little hazy. I don't wanna think too much, just let your wild side run the show tonight. Hey, baby,
drive tonight. Fill the bartender's jar to hide tonight. Yeah, we'll be up till the crack of dawn and sleeping away the morning. It doesn't matter what we get into tonight. I kinda wanna drink too much, drink too much. Go a little crazy, get a little hazy. I don't wanna think too much, think too much. Just let you outside run the show tonight. Hey, baby, don't you kinda miss the tipsy kiss and whiskey smile?
Jason Blaine and Drink Too Much on the Music's Journey podcast. I'm John Marshall, and one thing you cannot do is drink away alcoholism. Once again, let's get back to the podcast with your host, Kim Sear, and her guest, Jason Blaine.
Lord help us. Now, this album, I know, was built so much around family, and obviously with the lead single, this one was just getting back and just having some fun. But when you named this album, what was it like to pick that song in particular? It means a whole lot to you because it's a very, very beautiful song. So tell us about that.
Sure. Well, Go With Me. I really didn't have I struggled for a long time to come up with a title for this EP, and I've never actually straight up self-titled an album before. Maybe I will someday, but when this song came at the very last minute, it just felt like the perfect anchor for this EP, because it's just really this journey that I'm on. So not only the journey of asking my wife to go with me on this journey of life and move to Tennessee and chase this dream together and build this life together 1,000 miles away from where we're from, but it's a kind of a tip of the hat to the fans too, thanks for going with me on this musical journey and sticking with me all these years, coming out to shows, and hope still y'all will continue to go with me as we continue to put out songs and come to your town and play shows, and it's just, you know what I mean, it just seems to be a good anchor to tie this project together, and I hope everybody just feel something when they hear it.
And I can't wait for them to hear it on October 23rd when Jason Blaine is going to be releasing this particular EP. And it's just such a special EP, and we all can't wait for it. So you'll be able to hear the lead title off the EP. There's one that you just released in June, and that was called Mood Swing. It's another one off this album. And so talk about that.
Sure. So this song was written with Demek DePell and Jimmy Fell from Sons of Daughters, and I gotta give credit to Jimmy, really. I mean, he came in with this title and had most of the chorus of the song written. He was just determined to get a song on my upcoming record, and I love that about him. He made our day easy. I mean, it's always, you know, a daunting task to try to not suck and try to write something that's gonna be good, and he came in and he shared that title with me, and I didn't know that I didn't know if I would sing a song called Mood Swing. I just didn't know what that would be about or what that looked like. And then he explained it to me, and he played this chorus, and it just felt like a jammer. It just felt fun, and I loved the vibe of it. So we proceeded to write it, and Danik came up with the super cool banjo part and groove, and we all contributed lyrics, and it came out the way it came out, and I think it turned out great and just got a great energy about it.
When I'm listening to all this, it's just one of my favorite songs, and it's just a perfect summer song. I think we all needed it. And again, everything that we've been talking about this whole podcast is talking about that feel good song, you know, that you needed in the summer just to take that break away and remind, you know, each other of what it's like to sit underneath the moonlight, you know, the campfires and, you know, dance. Like John and I used to do this all the time. And I looked at him as like, this is what we did every night when we were dating. You know, when he used to come over, we would dance and, you know, just have the candles on and the music and miss all that. And it just brought back memories for me right away. And I resonated to this song completely.
Yeah, well, thank you for sharing. You know, mood swing is one of those things where sometimes you hear mood swing in a negative sense. That might have been my resistance to write it at first. But when Jimmy laid it out in terms of being a positive thing that, you know, baby, no matter what's going on in our world, you know, we could let the mood swing and we could change the color on your mood ring and turn the whole night around.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the whole vibe of what a lot of us are going through right now. And sometimes when you're in that, you know, when you're in a funk or something, you need somebody to come along and be that person to help pick you up and then, you know, turn the night around or change the mood and set things right, you know. And so that's the energy of the song. It's meant to be a pick-me-up for anybody who turns it on and cranks it up.
Well, if anybody hasn't heard it, let's hear it right now, because it is one of the best songs that came out this summer that I think everybody's going to love. And you can request it at your local radio station. If it isn't playing right now, you're going to absolutely love it. That's called Mood Swing, and this is by Jason Blaine for his album Go With Me, coming out October 23rd. So let's hear Mood Swing.
Girl, you've had a long day on your feet and fighting through the freeway. Pull up in the driver, got the porch light on. Baby, bring it on home to me. Mm-mm. Come on, baby, kick back, trip it on down. Yeah, just like that, looking like an angel with my t-shirt on. Get your work week on. Girl, tonight it's just you and me. We can let the mood swing.
Jason Blaine and Mood Swing. Lock a world outside, baby, you and I, we can let the mood swing. No truer words have ever been co-written. Now back to the Music's Journey podcast with your special guest, Jason Blaine. Here is Kim Sear.
My favorite so far, my favorite.
Yay! All right.
I like it. And I just like so many people, you know, you see online that have resonated to this song. How's that feel for you? Because you write for so many other artists, and I don't think people really understand how much you do write. And, you know, when you're writing for yourself, and like you said, this one you didn't write, but other songs on this album, it's got to be really hard to be able to pick those and be able to start writing for yourself. You know, how is that for you to switch, you know, to from writing for other people to write for you?
Well, sometimes it's difficult to write for me, especially it was really challenging at this point in my career because I heard one of my heroes, John Mayer, say recently, I don't really think that artists tend to dream past their third record.
Oh, really?
I thought that that's so true because I think that, you know, you set out on a music career and you have a bunch of things to say early on. You're like, you want your party songs, your you know, in the country world, you want your fun party Friday night songs, you want your getting in a car and driving down the road, getting out of town songs, and you want your songs about your hometown or your friends or your family or your daughters. And at this point, you know, I really sung about all of those things, you know, sometimes several songs over. So, you know, it became one of those things where you feel like you're recycling old ideas or roads you've already been down. So in some sense, it was easy to write some of those songs again for other people that haven't said those things yet or that haven't had the certain kind of song that they were looking for. So, you know, that's why I ended up cutting these two outside songs on this EP. You know, they were just, you know, Drink Too Much is one of those things I just hadn't heard a fun song done that way or said that way before.
Yeah.
It was really unique, and they're not so easy to write if you sit down and try to do that. It's actually very, very clever and brilliant the way it's laid out.
Tongue in cheek, it's really good. Yeah.
Yeah, and the melody and the way it all ascends and descends, it's so flowing and flowy and a really cool melody with it. And then the other one is a song called Home for the Summer.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Home for the Summer has already been released by a pal of mine named Austin Jinks. He was the finalist on The Voice some years ago, and he's one of the best damn singers I've ever heard. I was set up for a co-write with him one day, and I was checking out his music online, and he had this song called Home for the Summer. And the song about moved me to tears, if I'm honest. I just thought it was so great. I loved the melody. His version's a little bit different. It sounds a little more throwback, almost like a Tom Petty or a Bryan Adams song or something, which, of course, probably why I gravitated towards it so much, because I love both of those artists. But the song was also written, when I checked out the co-writers, by Travis Wood and Gavin Slate, who've written basically all of the James Barker hits and all of the so many of the Reclaws hits and the hits with Tim Hicks as well. They're super talented guys, great guys, great writers. So the song had this Canadian connection to it, and that's so true for me. Every summer for the past, since we moved to Nashville, it's what we would always look forward to. We would look forward to going home for the summer, to seeing friends and families, and it's hugs and high fives and how you bend and all of the streets that you run down. The Dairy Queen is still there, and it still looks the same as it did when you were on your first date, and all of these things. And that's what the song is about. That's what it spoke to. So it just really moved me, like I hadn't heard a song move me in like so much in years. But it's not a slow ballady song either. It's a jammer and with a lot of heart, I'd call it. So I had to record it. And
awesome.
Take a look. Home for the summer.
Oh, awesome. Like this album, I'm so excited for this album for you, because this EP, because it is such an amazing set of songs, and I think that this one's going to be a really big hit for you. I can't wait.
I hope so. I hope. I just, hope everybody loves it as much as I do.
No, I think they will. Absolutely. October 23rd, just a reminder for everybody, so you can pre-order that right now, can't you?
Yes, sure can. The link is up, and it's on my Instagram, and it's on my Facebook pages, and yeah, please check it out.
Remind everybody why it's so important, and this is one thing that was, you know, brought to my attention the other day, and it's just something that we don't really say too much, you know, when we're doing interviews, you know, for songs that are going to be released or, you know, for EPs, why it's so important for people to pre-order, what it does for you guys, the artists.
So, to my understanding, what it does is it sends kind of a message when people pre-order it. It sort of sets off triggers within all of the streaming platforms that tell, you know, Spotify or Apple or Amazon or any one of those things, wherever you stream your music, it tells them that hey, all these people are super interested in hearing this music.
Mm-hmm.
And then it sort of gets bumped into, a playlist, like automatically, depending on the level of interest. So, you know, whenever it debuts on October 23rd, it'll come out and it could really make a big difference in terms of where it ends up on playlists.
That's right.
Whether it's at the bottom or near the top, or whether it ends up on a playlist at all.
Exactly. That's why I wanted to make sure I brought that up today, because, you know, like if you don't promote it and people download, they don't understand, like, oh, you know, it's not coming out till the 23rd. It's not about buying it that day. It's about the pre-order and what it does for you guys, you know, when it comes to the how many hits it's getting on Spotify the very first week. And it just puts you on a different playlist. And I really hope that the fans hear that and remember, you know, if this is an album that you're interested in and the songs that have been played so far that have been released off the album, order it now. Order it now before October 23rd. And we're going to be doing that. So I hope everybody will just follow along and start adding and streaming and playing. So it's an amazing, amazing album.
Thank you, Cam.
Amazing. Absolutely great job. Now, remind everybody again, you've got a Christmas song coming out. And that is on November 6th.
November the 6th, yep.
And the name of the song?
It's called Family for Christmas.
Family for Christmas, and that's going to be an amazing one that we get to look forward to as well. So the live stream that you guys are going to be doing, you said you're probably going to be doing it on Instagram on October 22nd?
That's right.
Okay, so that everybody can look for, and that way you'll be able to hear, and you're probably going to have some guests you were talking about as well on the 22nd on Instagram to be able to pre-launch this new EP, Go With Me, and we're really looking forward to it with Jason Blaine. And I'd love to thank you for being our guest today. Do you mind if I do some question answers? I know I've had you on for a while, but would you be okay if I asked you a few questions?
Sure.
Okay, one sec.
It's time for the Blaine game.
What is the one thing that you haven't done yet on your bucket list that you have to do? It may not necessarily have to do with music, but just something off your bucket list.
Oh, gosh. You know what? I guess for me, it'll always be, you know, playing the Grand Ole Opry. That's always been a bucket list thing of mine. I haven't done it. I've played a lot of stages, but that would probably be one of them.
Okay. What's the one gift that you have gotten that you cherish the most from your daughters?
Oh, you know what? They're just constantly making little notes and little crafts and little things like that, and that I'll pin up on the fridge, or I'll put up in my office, and they've made so many of them. I couldn't point to just one. So, but you know, when they do that, it's all special.
Best memories with your boys?
Best memories with the boys. Well, a recent one with my oldest Carter is just fishing. He didn't even, you know, and I'll tell you this, we'd be out fishing and we come home skunked because this old man is a terrible fisherman. I can't seem to catch a worm. And, you know, so I'll apologize. I'm like, oh, sorry, buddy, we didn't catch anything. And he said, that's all right, Dad. I just enjoyed spending time together.
Aw, yeah, those are my favorite memories with my father. My absolute favorites. I couldn't even reach the top of the cutting board. I'd watch all the men come in, because we used to go to Manitoulin Island, believe it or not. And those are huge memories for me in Little Current. And Manitoulin Island, we would do Minimoy Lake. When I was a little kid, I used to see him off the point catching his pickerel. And I know that he'd be coming back with his catch, and I couldn't even see the top of the table, but I'd be right there looking up and watching them clean the fish. And I just remember that. And it stuck in my mind, and you know, I'm a really great fisherman. Fisherwoman.
That's great.
So really good memories for me. What does success look like for you?
Oh, gosh, that's a great question. What does success look like for me? You know, I think you're constantly defining success and redefining success. And, you know, as I talk to you today, I'm talking to you from my house in Hendersonville. And, you know, my kids will be getting off the bus here pretty soon. So I think, you know, just for me, it's, you know, when I set out on a music career path years ago, my dad sometimes reminds me of this, that I told him when I was young that, you know, I don't ever really need to be super rich and famous like Garth Brooks. If I could just, you know, make a living doing what I love for the rest of my life. And so at this point, I guess I'm almost 20 years in, if you can believe that, to when I moved from Pembroke, Ontario, and moved away from home, and started from making a living playing little bars to, you know, getting a record deal and putting out music on, having radio play my songs on the radio, and then getting to tour and just being able to, you know, feed my family with this music money from songs. That's been my success story so far, and you know, and that, and just, you know, having a family and people to love, man. I think that's really what it's all about.
I just love seeing you and Amy, you know, when you're on the carpet, green carpet, red carpet, you know, it's just amazing seeing the two of you together and the love the two of you share.
Oh, well, thank you. That's very sweet.
Yeah. Everything in the world right now, what is the one thing that you feel that is important for people to take away today?
I think probably kindness. I think that kindness and grace, I think that everybody could, you know, just that's what we can do. That, you know, you can only control what you can control, and everybody has, you know, stuff going on in their life. You don't know what that is. Everybody's got the same, you know, stresses and fears and hopes and dreams, really. You know, we're all more the same than we are different.
That's right.
So I think kindness and grace, I think, is what we need to give away more of.
Really great answer. Favorite place that you've ever traveled?
I believe it or not, I haven't really been to that many different places. But I'll tell you this: I've only been away two times with my wife to anywhere tropical, and then we started having kids, and we're able to go. And I've never been to Europe. I really want to go there. I had planned to go there before all this got closed down. I would love to travel the world more, honestly. But, you know, in the meantime, with our four kids, we settled for Destin, Florida. We've made a lot of wonderful families on the Emerald, or family memories on the Emerald Coast down there.
Oh, nice.
Destin, Florida.
Nice.
Most beautiful sunset down there. So it's probably one of my favorite places to go.
Well, it might lead into the next question that I've got for you. If you just had one day in life left, just one day, what would you want to be doing and why?
Oh, goodness. Probably just you know, like everybody, right? Just surrounded by loved ones, you know, having my kids, my wife, and maybe drinking a good bottle of wine, I guess.
There's that moonlight coming out right now, right?
Yeah.
Your favorite song on the radio today?
What is my favorite song on the radio today? Well, I'll tell you, it's still my favorite song. You know, it's been, I think it came out a year ago, by George Strait, called God and Country Music.
Oh, nice.
That is my favorite. That was my favorite thing.
Nice. A favorite artist or songwriter of all time is?
Oh, gosh. It's going to be a toss-up for me between... my big three these days. Gosh, it's Vince Gill, Brian Adams, and John Mayer for me these days.
God, I'm telling you, so much in common. So much in common. Favorite pizza?
Pizza, just pizza.
Just pizza.
Yeah, of all kinds.
Anyone that's your favorite when you order?
I always go for like the meat lovers, like just all of the bad stuff, all of the bacon and the pepperoni and all of the stuff.
Ever since we've been doing the
Hawaiian, like my wife.
I'm telling you, every single podcast, every single time, people say Hawaiian pizza. It doesn't matter who it is. So you're the first one that said something different other than one other artist. That's it. That's awesome to hear. So just remind everybody once again where they can follow you the best and get the latest news.
Sure. Well, please go right now and give me a quick follow on Instagram, Jason Blaine Official. Look for the blue check mark. And also follow me on Spotify, too. That always helps us artists when you follow us. I'm on Facebook and Twitter as well. I'm not really on Twitter much anymore these days. I've kind of given up on that, but Facebook, I guess. Stay in touch.
Yeah, because you know what? We want to make sure that everybody knows exactly where you are most of the time. And I do know that I do see you on Instagram, I think, a little bit more than I've ever seen you on Facebook, that's for sure. So
yeah,
they can catch you on there to get your latest news. So this EP is coming out. It is called Go With Me, and you've heard it on October 23rd, everybody. So you know what? Pre-order this album. You're going to love it. Stream it, play it, share it. And you know what? It's going to really help the artists out at the same time. And we all love Jason Blaine, an amazing singer, songwriter, and one of the very, very best songwriters I know. And I look forward to your Christmas song coming out on November 6th. So stay tuned for that. And we'll have Jason back to be able to come back and talk about that as well. So stay tuned for October 23rd, because he's going to do something live, or actually October 22nd, live on Instagram to promote his new EP that is coming out, Go With Me. So thank you once again for spending some time with us. We really appreciate it. And thank you for being here on Music's Journey.
All right. Well, thank you, Kim. Thank you, Now and Then. And thank you, John, as well. And you guys take care and God bless.
God bless you, too.
Thank you, Jason. Take care.
Bye, guys.
Bye-bye. Once again, I want to thank my very, very special guest, Jason Blaine, for coming by and talking to us about life and about his brand new EP called Go With Me, coming out October 23rd. And just remind everybody to pre-order. Really, really important for the artists. So again, October 23rd for Go With Me, a very, very special album for Jason Blaine. We're really, really excited about that. We look forward to that coming out. He's also got a Christmas song coming out November 6th, so we don't want to miss that. And you can check out his Jason Blaine's Celebrity Charity Golf Tournament too, and that'll all be on Now and Then magazine, and you'll be able to see that in the article and all the links to all of Jason's new music and news. I also want to remind everybody about this weekend. Again, we'll be speaking with Jesse T and Carrie DeMare, but also on October 4th is the Canadian Country Music Ontario Awards, which is the very first time that it's going to be done in a drive-in setting. It's already sold out, and that is London, Ontario at the Western Fair District. We're looking forward to that. You can see that online, and they'll be having some great performances from our Ontario Canadian artists, so you want to support that on October 4th.
That's one awards show that should be televised, but it's not.
I know. It's a shame.
They do such a good job.
Yeah, and I bet you this one's going to be for the record books, and it already is, being the first drive-in awards show. So, you know, good luck to everybody in our Ontario artists, and great talent in Ontario, great talent in Canada for Canadian country music. So look forward to it. October 4th, we'll see you all there, and see you on the flip side of Music's Journey.
A big thank you to Jason Blaine for being with us today. You know, it takes a lot of balls to golf like he does. Now that sounds bad, but it's not if you think about it. You've been listening to Music's Journey on musicsjourney.com. Please like us on Facebook and share us on all your socials. On our upcoming podcasts, we'll be chatting with Dallas Smith, Sons of Daughters, Michelle Wright, as Kim mentioned, Jesse T and Carrie DeMare, and also pop duo Via Barcelona coming up on October 9th. Our theme music is titled I Can Tell and is performed by the band Emergence. I'm John Marshall. On behalf of Kim Sear, thank you for listening to Music's Journey.